Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message, The Trials of a King. We're going to look forward to this week's message, The King Who Had It All. And finally, we'll take a look at 1 John chapter 2 as we continue our journey through this letter. Without further ado, let's get started. Last week, we looked at this idea of the trials of a king, and we continued to look at the life of David. I opened up with a pretty funny story, in my opinion. If you missed it, make sure you go back and check it out. But then we continued to look at David, and David did, in fact, commit a major sin. And not only did he commit a sin, but then he tried to cover up this sin, and by trying to cover up the sin, he committed another sin. And this really created a problem for him. But David was confronted with his sin by the prophet Nathan, and in the response to this, David had a very different response than Saul did. David was, in fact, repentant. He saw that he had made a mistake, and he realized that this caused a major break in his relationship with God, and so he repented of the sin and asked for forgiveness. Well, God, in true fashion, did in fact forgive David, but that didn't take away the fact that there would be consequences from this sin. In fact, several consequences. And these consequences would not only impact his family personally, but it would impact his kingdom as well. David, though, did remain true to God, and we saw how he was definitely a man after God's own heart. And though while he was a man and committed sin, his response to sin surely showed us how he was different than many people. He, in fact, was repentant. And not only that, but he did whatever he had to do to make this right with God. And in 1 Chronicles 29, we saw that David did, in fact, return and was restored in his relationship with God. And this was really a reflection of David's true self. So we then looked at what can we do? Because after all, we are men and women, and we sin. And we saw that we first should stop and admit when we sin. If we're truly following God, sin will grieve our hearts when it's exposed, and we can stop and admit it. Second, we need to accept the consequences of our sin. And finally, we need to repent or turn from them and ask forgiveness from God. And we know in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that we looked at last week, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. So let us not give excuses for our sins. Let us live a life of integrity. And let us, when confronted with sin, let us repent and seek restoration. This week, we're going to look at Solomon, who was David's son, who would indeed take over as king of Israel. And Solomon was the king that had the opportunity to build the temple for God. David had done a lot of the legwork in collecting of the various metals and gold and things that were needed to make this temple. But Solomon was the one who would indeed build the temple. But Solomon, though, even though he asked for wisdom from God, which is an amazing thing, he was given great wisdom. But we will see that Solomon took many steps that were against what God had asked him to do and commanded him. In fact, he took many wives and took foreign wives. And by taking foreign wives, we would see that in Solomon's life, there was what we call a slow fade. He slowly gave a little bit more of himself over to his wives and to their gods, and by doing this was turning away from the one true God. We'll read more and see more about this week at Sunday when we see that Solomon, who was indeed the king who had it all, but who would also turn his heart from God. We will also see that just like Solomon, we have to guard our heart. We have to be aware of the things that we let into our life, and we have to be careful that we don't, in fact, go down this slow fade and turn our hearts from God. You know, the opening analogy I'm going to use is this idea of a frog. If you put a frog into boiling water, it recognizes the problem and tries to jump out immediately. However, if you put a frog in comfortable water, but slowly turn up the heat so that over time it slowly gets the water hotter and hotter and hotter to, in fact, the water will get to a boil and the frog will not jump out because it's so comfortable and slowly become used to the heat that was applied, and it'll actually stay in the water until it dies. And if we're not careful, we are much the same as this. See, if we turn our hearts from God slowly but surely and allow, you know, just a small step of compromise over time added upon itself, eventually we could get down the road and not realize what has happened. And, you know, that's kind of why I'm looking at this book of 1 John. And so the remainder of our time, we're going to look at the second chapter of 1 John. But if you remember, this letter was probably the last letter written for the Bible. And John, who was now, was the same John that wrote the Gospel of John and was with Jesus when he was walking this earth and when he went through that trial and when he was killed and when he rose again and went up to heaven. That same John is the one that's writing this letter some 60 years later. I can't even imagine what he has seen in his life and what he has experienced for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has this message on his heart that he wants to convey to us in 1 John. And one of those messages is this, is that he wants us to stay true to God, to be certain of what we hope for, certain of what we believe in Jesus, and not let this world lead us astray. And second, he wants us to be aware of false teachers, teachings and teachers that seem really close to what God, the gospel is, but is just off enough that it slowly takes us down a path that we don't want to go. So let's open our Bibles and follow along with me as I read 1 John chapter 2 this week. My dear children, I write to you that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Verse 12, I write you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is in the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything is in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Verse 19, dear children, this is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know in the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, the world have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar Is it the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the anointing teaches you about all the things, as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Verse 28, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Wow, there is so much there, but I want to start by reading this commentary. Remember, we're looking at a book by Warren Wiersbe, who was the pastor at the Moody Church in Chicago, and it's the Nelson's Quick Reference, chapter by chapter Bible commentary. This is a great, straightforward commentary that kind of gives you an overview briefly of each chapter of the Bible. But in 1 John chapter 2, this is what Warren Wiersbe has to say. In Jesus Christ, you have an advocate, verses 1 and 2, representing you before God's throne. When you sin, confess it to him and receive his faithful forgiveness. In him, you have had an example, verses 3 through 6, and you should walk as he walked. Ask the indwelling Holy Spirit to make you more like Jesus and saturate yourself with his life as you read the Gospels. From Jesus Christ, you have a commandment, verse 7 through 11, to love God's people. The Father gave this commandment to Israel back in Leviticus, and the Son to his disciples in John 13, and the Spirit enables us to obey it. We see this in Romans 5:5. Because of Jesus Christ, you have a family, verses 12 through 14. The members are at different stages of their spiritual development, but all can receive the word and grow. How wonderful it is when the little children become young men and then fathers. You also have some enemies, verses 15 through 27, the world and the false teachers. Christians who love the world lose the enjoyment of the Father's love and the desire to do his will. We overcome the world with God's love and the liars with God's truth, verses 24 through 27. You have a wonderful hope, verses 28 and 29, the coming Jesus Christ. Abide in him so you will not be ashamed when he comes. Man, I could talk about this chapter for hours, but I won't do that because I'm not sure anyone would actually listen that long. But just a couple takeaways for me. At the very beginning of chapter 2, we see some powerful, powerful verses. And specifically, it tells us that Jesus was the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. And this is such a poignant reminder of the power of the gospel. See, the gospel is very big and very large, but it's also very simple and straightforward. You know, this week, as I was reading a book titled The 50 Toughest Questions, and this was put out by Michael Rydelnik, who hosts the Open Line radio show for Moody, he had this to say about a simple way to say the gospel, get all of the major points in there and say it in 25 words. And here's what he said. He said, the wrong things we do separate us from God. Jesus died, taking our punishment, and rose again, proving he is God. Trust in him. And I think that's what John was trying to say here in the first beginning of second chapter of John. He's telling us the heart of the gospel, that we need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior, and he is the one whom we can place our trust. You know, in this world, we're oftentimes questioning everything that we've thought was true. And John does a succinct job here of telling us and proving to us, say, this is the proof that Jesus is our Savior and Lord. Place your trust in Him. He is worth it, and He will be with you forever. And, you know, we're going to face trials in this world. We're going to face difficulties, and we're going to face, in fact, false teachers. And sadly, into the 21st century, we see many false teachers, not only outside the church, but inside the church, trying to make the gospel more inviting, more exciting, more hip and fresh. And friends, I'm here to tell you that the gospel stands on its own. The gospel of God's truth stands on its own. And if we can wrap our mind around that idea and place our hope and faith in that and not seek the things of this world, but rather get more of Christ, more of Him, abide with Him, remain with Him. It's no secret that John wrote chapter 15 of his gospel as well. And in there, Jesus was teaching his disciples, saying, listen, this is the heart of it. Remain in me, become more like me, live your life more like me. And here in 1 John, some 55 or 60 years later, after all of the things that John has witnessed, he remembers those words that Jesus said, and said, these are true. They will hold you closer to Him. You must remain in Christ. You must place all of your hope, your faith, your trust, and surrender everything you have to Him. And that's how we grow closer to Him. And when we do sin, because it's going to happen, ask forgiveness, turn from your sin, and turn to Christ and say, I have sinned. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And our Father God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins. Why? Not because of us, but because of Jesus. And that is what we must remain in. So let me challenge you this week as we finish out this week and move to Sunday and then move to the days ahead. Let us remain in Christ. Be more like Him. Let our lives be transformed by the renewing of our mind and by studying His Word and by importing it into our life and becoming more like Him. Let us flee from the things of this world and pursue His righteousness. Well, I hope this message encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And as always, thank you for listening to this podcast. Share it with a friend. Let them see this. This is episode 15. And while I talk a little bit about what we're doing in church, I also am talking more about how this can apply in our life. So join me next week as we continue our journey and we look at 1 John 3. Have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.